أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين وأقسموا بالله جهد أيمانهم وَأَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ لَئِنْ أَمَرْتَهُمْ لَيَخْرُجُنَّ قُلْ لَا تُقْسِمُوا طَاعَةٌ مَعْرُوفَةٌ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ قل أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وإن تولوا فإنما عليه ما حمل وعليكم ما حملتم وإن تطيعوه تهتدوا وما على الرسول إلا البلاغ المبين وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم ولا يمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم ولا يبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا ومن كفر بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الفاسقون وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awud and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, may Allah be his helper, recited verses 54 to 57 of Surah An-Nur and said, By the grace of Allah the Almighty, 117 years have passed since the system of Khilafat was established in the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. This system was established in 1908 in accordance with the promises of Allah the Almighty and the prophecies of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Thus, this was a great favor of Allah the Almighty upon the Ahmadiyya Jamaat that we are part of such a system regarding which Allah the Almighty had prophesied that after the advent of the Messiah and Mahdi, a new era would begin, which would be the era of the revival of Islam. Then, within this very system, the era of Khilafat would also begin, regarding which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had very clearly prophesied. The prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, which is mentioned in a hadith, is as follows. He states, that prophethood will remain among you as long as Allah wills. Then He will lift it, and Khilafat on the precepts of prophethood will be established. Then, when Allah the Almighty wills, He will also lift this blessing. Then, according to his decree, a painful monarchy will be established. When this period will end, an even more tyrannical monarchy will be established, as long as Allah wills. Then Allah will lift that as well. After that, Khilafat on the precepts of prophethood will be established again. And upon saying this, he fell silent. So this was the prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. According to which, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, after the advent of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, a new era of the revival of Islam began. And after his demise, the era of Khilafat also began. In the translation of the verse I recited, Allah the Almighty says, "And they swear by Allah their strongest oaths, that if thou command them, they will surely go forth. Say, swear not. What is required is obedience in what is right. Surely Allah is well aware of what you do. Say, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. But if you turn away, then upon him is his burden, and upon you is your burden. And if you obey him, you will be rightly guided. And the messenger is not responsible but for the plain delivery of the message. Allah has promised to those among you who believe and do good works that he will surely make them successes in the earth, as he made successes from among those who were before them. And that he will surely establish for them their religion, which he has chosen for them, and that he will surely give them in exchange security and peace after their fear. They will worship me, and they will not associate anything with me. Then whoso is ungrateful after that, they will be the rebellious, and observe prayer, and give the zakah, and obey the messenger, that you may be shown mercy." Thus, it is clearly evident from these verses that Allah the Almighty has promised the Muslims that the system of Khilafat shall be established among you. The period of the rightly guided Khilafat lasted for 30 years. Now, Allah the Almighty's promise was not only for 30 years, rather it was a complete promise. And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has himself explained this, as I have recited from the hadith, that it was Khilafat on the precepts of prophethood. Then there was a monarchy. Then there was a tyrannical monarchy. And then Khilafat on the precepts of prophethood would be established. And this would be established in the time of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Thus, we Ahmadis should always remember this matter, that by accepting the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, we have promised to act upon the commandments of Allah the Almighty. And a condition of this pledge is that we shall always remain attached to Khilafat. Towards this, Allah the Almighty has not only drawn our attention, but has also enjoined us. Regarding this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also gave instructions. Therefore, as long as we remain attached to Khilafat, we will continue to be recipients of the blessings of Allah the Almighty. But for this, there are also conditions, just as Allah the Almighty has stated in the verses as well. So it is necessary for us to fulfill those conditions. Before explaining those conditions, I will read the statement of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, regarding the continuation of Khilafat. In his book, The Will, he states, "Thus, he that is God Almighty manifests two kinds of power. First, he shows the hand of his power at the hands of his prophets themselves. Second, with the death of a prophet, difficulties and problems arise, and the enemy feels stronger and thinks that things are in disarray, and is convinced that now this Jamaat will become extinct. And even members of the Jamaat too are in a quandary, and their backs are broken. And some of the unfortunate ones choose paths that lead to apostasy, then it is that God, for the second time, shows His mighty power and supports and takes care of the shaken Jamaat. Thus, one who remains steadfast till the end witnesses this miracle of God. This is what happened at the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, when the demise of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was considered untimely, and many an ignorant Bedouin turned apostate, meaning the illiterate and unlearned people, those of the villages, turned apostate. The companions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him too, stricken with grief, became like those who lose their senses. Then Allah raised Abu Bakr Siddiq and showed for the second time the manifestation of his power and saved Islam just when it was about to fall and fulfilled the promise which was spelled out in the verse. That is, after the fear, we shall firmly re-establish them. This is also what happened at the time of Moses, peace be upon him, when he died on his way from Egypt to Canaan, before taking the Israelites to the intended destination in accordance with the promise. At his death, Israelites were plunged into deep mourning. The Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, says, "So, dear friends, since it is the Sunnatullah, that is the practice of God, from time immemorial, that God Almighty shows two manifestations so that the two false joys of the opponents be put to an end, it is not possible now that God should relinquish His Sunnah of old. So do not grieve over what I have said to you, nor should your hearts be distressed. For it is essential for you to witness the second manifestation also, and its coming is better for you, because it is everlasting." Here, in accordance with this hadith, the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, has identified the everlasting manifestation. He states the continuity of which will not end till the Day of Judgment, and that second manifestation cannot come unless I depart. But when I depart, God will send that second manifestation for you, which shall always stay with you, just as promised by God in Barahin Ahmadiyya. And this promise is not for my person, rather the promise is with reference to you. As God addressing me says, "I shall make this Jamaat, who are your followers, prevail over others till the Day of Judgment. Thus it is inevitable that you see the day of my departure, so that after that day, the day comes, which is the day of everlasting promise. Our God is He who keeps His promise, and is faithful, and is a truthful God. He shall show you all that He has promised. Though these days are the last days of this world, and there are many a disaster waiting to happen, yet it is necessary that this world continues to exist until all those things about which God has prophesied come to pass. I came from God as a manifestation of divine providence, and I am a personification of His power. And after I am gone, there will be some other persons who will be the manifestation of the second power of God. So while waiting for the second manifestation of His power, you all together keep yourselves busy praying, and let a Jamaat of righteous people, one and all, in every country keep themselves busy in prayers, so that the second manifestation may descend from heaven and show you that your God is such a mighty God." Now here, the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, also stated that in anticipation of the second manifestation, the members should gather and continue praying together, that in every country a group of righteous individuals should come together to pray. At the time when the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, made this statement, the Ahmadiyya community existed primarily in India, with only a few individuals residing abroad. Yet, in a way, he also made a prophecy that in the future, the Jamaat would spread to every country, as he instructed that these prayers be made in every land. And today we are witnessing that era, where the Ahmadiyya community has spread across the world, and everywhere we see deep bonds of loyalty, love, and attachment to Khilafat. even among those living in far-off lands. We saw this beautifully demonstrated at the time of the election of Khilafat Khamsa, when people from around the world united and pledged their allegiance to the institution of Khilafat. And God willing, this bayat, a pledge of allegiance, will continue in the future as well. People will go on performing bayat. And in accordance with this, Allah the Almighty will continue to bestow His grace upon us, because this is a divine promise. It is a prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And it is also a glad tiding given to us by the promise of Zaya, peace be upon him, through divine revelation from Allah the Almighty. Therefore, we must remain firmly attached to Khilafat and be prepared to make every sacrifice for the establishment and support of the system of Khilafat. If we continue to do so, then we will remain connected to Khilafat until the Day of Judgment. Our future generations will also remain attached to it, and they will continue to receive its countless blessings. Some people are under the impression that perhaps Khilafat in the Ahmadiyya community might one day turn into a monarchy. However, this is completely contrary to the promise of Allah the Almighty. The prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, as mentioned in the hadith I recited, and the statements of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. All of these clearly indicate that the Khilafat in the Ahmadiyya Muslim community will, God willing, always remain a spiritual Khilafat, and its system will continue until the Day of Judgment. There will never come a time when it can be said that monarchy has crept in. Some mischief makers begin to suggest that monarchy has developed within the Ahmadiyya community, but this can never happen. This is the promise of Allah the Almighty, and God willing, the spiritual Khilafat will always remain established. Allah the Almighty has promised He will surely establish Khilafat among you as He established it among those before you. This refers not to a worldly or monarchical Khilafat, but to a spiritual Khilafat which Allah Himself has given as an example. As the Holy Quran and the history of the Prophets show, there was a system of Khilafat directly established by Allah. In addition to that, there is another system that Allah established, which began with the era of the rightly guided caliphs, and that system continues to this day. On one occasion, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib also wrote an article on this subject. He expressed the thought that perhaps a time might come when a monarchical system could emerge. When Hazrat Muslim Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, came to know of this, he strongly refuted and rejected this notion and firmly stated that monarchy would never enter the Ahmadiyya community as long as spirituality and righteousness remain established, God willing. And indeed, these would remain established. As a Muslim, may Allah be pleased with him, further stated that the promises which Allah the Almighty has made to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, as he himself declared, will not be fulfilled unless the system of spiritual Khilafat remains intact. Therefore, no such system will ever arise in the Ahmadiyya community that could harm or weaken the institution of Khilafat. As a Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib fully understood the status of Khilafat and was deeply and faithfully devoted to it. Hence, there was no question of him holding any opinion contrary to it. In fact, he would say, if I ever hold a view on a matter and the Khalifatul Masih decides differently, I never even allow the thought to enter my heart that I have a personal opinion. This was true loyalty, perfect loyalty. In any case, from this perspective as well, we must have complete faith in the promises of Allah the Almighty, that the institution of Khilafat is, by the grace of Allah, a system that has been established according to His will, and it shall continue to function in accordance with that divine will. No form of worldly monarchy will ever enter into it. The Khalifa of the time rises in the depths of the night to pray for the members of the Jamaat. Is there any king in the world who does such a thing? So if we keep this in mind and act accordingly, only then can we attain success. Allah the Almighty has promised that this blessing will be granted to those who obey Allah and His Messenger. Therefore, as long as there are people among us who continue to obey the commandments of Allah and His Messenger, we will continue to receive a share of this divine promise. Those people will continue to benefit from it. However, if there are any who do not, then such individuals will be cut off. But the promise of Allah will never fail, God willing. Allah the Almighty has said, and if you obey Him, you will be rightly guided. And you will continue to receive guidance. And then Allah Almighty says, Allah has promised to those among you who believe and do good works. The standard of faith and righteous deeds has already been defined in the earlier verse. Place the yoke of complete obedience upon your neck. Only then will you be counted among the true believers. Only then will the desire to perform righteous deeds arise, and only then will there be a motivation to continuously progress in doing good. When this standard is achieved, then we will continue to benefit from the blessings of Khilafat. Thus, to ensure the continuation of Khilafat and to draw blessings from it, Allah the Almighty has instructed those associated with this Khilafat to obey Allah and His Messenger and to adhere strictly to their commandments. Among Muslims, history shows, and the hadith of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, testifies that true Khilafat, known as Khilafat-i-Rashida, remained established only as long as people willingly bore the yoke of obedience. Once they abandoned obedience, they were also deprived of Khilafat. Hence, it must always be remembered that joining the Ahmadiyya community and benefiting from it necessitates that every Ahmadi connects firmly with Khilafat, offers complete obedience to it, implements the commands of the Khalifa of the time, and maintains a relationship of loyalty to him. Only then will such a person receive guidance and blessings that Allah the Almighty has designated for those who are true believers and connected with Khilafat. This divine institution of Khilafat is a system through which Allah the Almighty Himself transforms hearts. Such divine support has been consistently evident in every era of Khilafat. When Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, Hazrat Mawlana Nuruddin Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, took up the mantle of Khilafat, he was a recipient of special divine support, leading people to pledge allegiance to him. Similarly, during the time of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II, may Allah be pleased with him, despite numerous trials and tribulations, divine support remained evident, fulfilling the promises of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Consequently, the Ahmadiyya community united under one banner, while those opposing Khilafat or its perpetuation were marginalized and lost significance. Then we witness the era of the third Khalifa, how everyone united at the hand of one man. Then we witness the era of the fourth Khalifa, as no calamity could scatter the community. Similarly, in the era of the fifth Khalifa, as I have mentioned several times previously, we witness unprecedented unity not seen anywhere else. Where people from distant lands were united and displayed such loyalty and devotion, which is unparalleled. Today, observe that the Ahmadiyya community alone remains intricately bound in a system. By the sheer grace of Allah the Almighty, those associated with Khilafat and this community continuously receive immense blessings from Allah the Almighty. Indeed, countless atrocities are perpetrated against Ahmadis, especially in Pakistan and some other countries. Yet by Allah the Almighty's grace, they remain firm in their faith, believing these hardships cannot distance them from their faith. In return, the blessings Allah the Almighty showers upon them and their future generations are incomparable. Consider that despite the 1974 persecution in Pakistan, the community continually progressed and spread globally. Similarly, the 1984 legislation against the community did not impede its growth. Although the Khalifa had to leave the headquarters in Rabwa, Pakistan, it was no hurdle to the progress of the community. In fact, after having left, we witnessed the grace of Allah the Almighty in a new light, as the community flourished even more splendidly under Khilafat, and it was showered with its blessings, thus ushering in a new era. During the era of the fourth Khalifa, we again witnessed remarkable progress, and this growth continues today, despite unprecedented persecution from the enemy. Particularly after 2010, when opponents launched large-scale attacks on our mosques and martyred many Ahmadis, there have been periodic martyrdoms, sometimes more, and other times less. During the era of the fifth Khalifa, we have witnessed numerous martyrdoms, yet Allah the Almighty has not let the faith of the people falter. By Allah's grace, believers continue to strengthen their faith. Not only are the members firm in their faith, but they are increasing in it as well. Certainly, there are some whose faith is weaker, among whom there are those who stepped aside. However, the majority remain steadfast, receiving Allah the Almighty's blessings through other avenues as well. Many have had opportunities to migrate and have been blessed materially and spiritually by Allah the Almighty. Globally, in various countries, the Ahmadiyya community continues to expand rapidly. This fulfills Allah the Almighty's promise regarding Khilafat, as today we have established branches of the community in 213 to 214 countries. By Allah the Almighty's grace, a sincere group of followers continues to grow. Astonishingly, even those living in remote areas demonstrate remarkable allegiance to Khilafat. I have narrated numerous incidents previously, highlighting how people of far-off places, of villages in Africa, maintain their connection with Khilafat. Despite their losses, those people are resolute in their faith. In Dori, Burkina Faso, 8 to 9 Ahmadis were recently martyred. And they offered their lives with unshakable faith. Their offspring and progeny remained steadfast in their faith, declaring the same faith in the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, as that of the martyrs, and their readiness to sacrifice everything for Khilafat and the establishment of its system. The affectionate messages they send astonish me, revealing that even those who live in remote areas, whom we sometimes consider uneducated, possess an intense vigor of faith, such that their words, passion, affection, and love for Khilafat are unmatched. It is indeed Allah the Almighty's grace that is fulfilling His promise that Khilafat will remain forever. And in order to maintain this eternal system, He is instilling faith into people's hearts and increasing it continually. During my visit to an African country, a disabled man with severely impaired arms greeted me, clasping my hand with astonishing strength that it felt as if my hand was in a clamp, And he expressed such profound love that it left me astounded. I was astonished to see such deep love despite our unfamiliarity. It was purely out of his love for Khilafat. People witnessing such scenes wept openly. They had never met me before nor known me. There was no familiarity. Yet they would cry while embracing me in an astounding manner. It was a wonder how Allah the Almighty has imbued their hearts with love for Khilafat. They would pledge that they are ready to offer any sacrifice to ensure the perpetuation of Khilafat. And it was not just a pledge, rather they were ready to demonstrate their readiness. Every year, numerous people, from children and women to young and elderly men, write letters expressing intense affection. Observing their profound love for Khilafat, one is amazed at how Allah the Almighty has instilled within their hearts a deep love for Khilafat, the community, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, and how devoutly concerned they are for Islam's progress. This profound affection and passionate dedication are gifts from Allah the Almighty through the Ahmadiyya Khilafat. Allah the Almighty assures us that remaining steadfast in virtue and maintaining righteous actions will continually enable us to benefit from this blessed system. In the same verses, Allah the Almighty says that a hallmark of those who progress in their faith is that they do not commit shirk, associating partners with God. Hence, it is also important for us to always safeguard against every form of shirk. Recently, I delivered an address to the UK Shura, in which I covered this topic with reference to Hazrat Muslim, may Allah be pleased with him, that if we have an ego or pride, whether as an office bearer or any other person, this is not addressed only to office bearers, rather this is addressed to all Ahmadis, then shirk has developed within them. If we wish to truly benefit from the blessings of Khilafat, and if we truly want to become the recipients of the blessings of Allah the Almighty, then we must save ourselves from all forms of shirk, ego, and pride, and purify ourselves from these things. Office bearers and workers can only be beneficial and useful for the Jamaat when their egos are eliminated, when their pride is eliminated, and they work solely for Allah and for attaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Then Allah the Almighty says, these people are those who establish their prayers and offer zakat. Then he said, they are fully obedient to Allah the Almighty and his messenger. Such are the people upon whom Allah the Almighty will have mercy. Thus, in order to attain blessings from the bounty of Khilafat, which Allah the Almighty has bestowed through the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, every Ahmadi should remember the commandment of Allah the Almighty that this promise of continuing the blessed institution of Khilafat or attaining blessings from Khilafat is with those who show complete obedience. They must always keep the worship of Allah the Almighty at the forefront, because only those are completely obedient to Allah who always remember Allah the Almighty and worship Him. As we know, when it comes to worship, Allah the Almighty has commanded us time and again to establish our salat. Establishing salat is extremely important. Every Ahmadi who considers themselves to be associated with Khilafat, those who wish to be attached to Khilafat, or those who wish to reap the blessings of Khilafat, should bear in mind that they must give their utmost attention towards establishing Salat. At one instance, whilst explaining the meaning of Salat, Hazrat Muslim, may Allah be pleased with him, has excellently stated that the best facet of Salat is the Friday prayer, during which the Imam delivers a sermon and imparts advice. In light of the world's condition, the Khalifa of the time imparts advice to various nations of the world according to the various needs that arise and develop from time to time, which develops unity and accord among the people. Everyone's attention is towards the Khalifa of the time. Today, we see this happening in practical form. Now, through MTA, we see how Allah the Almighty has established a system whereby the sermon being delivered by the Khalifa of the time is relayed to every country of the world and is heard and watched in every region, city and town. It is not that the message of the Khalifa of the time is limited to those sitting before him. In fact, I receive many letters from countries in Africa, Turkey and Russia saying that it seems as though the things I say are exactly according to their circumstances. And upon hearing them, their attention has been drawn towards their own reformation. They feel that the institution of Khilafat has truly united them all. Therefore, it is not right to think that the things being said are only for those of a Pakistani mentality or for certain people in Europe. In fact, from the letters I receive, it is evident that in every corner of the world, in every country, they find certain relatable aspects from the narrations, which give them an opportunity for their own reformation. These days, I am speaking on Islamic history, about the life of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in which there are many aspects that serve as guidance for us, and people benefit significantly from them. In addition, they are learning about Islamic history, about the foundations of Islam. In the same vein, they have also learned about the lives of the companions, while also learning about the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's excellent example in various circumstances. There are certain aspects that are beneficial for personal reformation and people are taking advantage of them, something that others have also expressed. Hence, Khilafat is the means created by Allah the Almighty, through which unity has been established within the Ahmadiyya community. All Ahmadis across 215 countries in the world are united as one and attached to this institution and are striving towards their reformation. Allah the Almighty has also commanded the paying of zakat, which is very necessary for purifying one's wealth. In order for one to purify their wealth, this is necessary. This also includes other forms of financial sacrifices. Today, we see that this financial system exists only through the Ahmadiyya community. It is in obedience to the Khalifa of the time that by offering financial contributions, the needs of the Jamaat members and the Jamaats are being fulfilled. If there is a shortage in one country, then that shortage is resolved by another country. Although people in Africa offer many sacrifices, the sacrifices are such that their expenses are far greater than their collection. Hence, funds from foreign countries are sent to Africa, which enable the operation of schools, hospitals, mission houses, and mosques. The people there are very grateful for how Allah the Almighty has enabled them to be part of the system of the Jamaat and benefit from it. Whenever opponents reach this country, there are instances where they say you should forsake Qadianiyat, Mirzaiyat, or Ahmadiyat, as Ahmadis do not follow the teachings of Islam. However, people respond to the non-Ahmadis who approach them by saying that they have not yet to teach them anything. In contrast, the Ahmadiyya community has come to our villages, towns, and cities, and they have built mosques. They have also focused on our education by providing us with schools, built hospitals for us, and taught us faith. They teach us the Holy Quran. They teach us the translation of the Holy Quran, whereas they, the non-Ahmadis, have not done anything, yet they come after them to oppose the Ahmadis and to declare them non-Muslims. If the Ahmadis are not Muslims, then no one in the world can be regarded as Muslims. This is the response of new converts. Hence, it is through the initiated institution of Khilafat that Allah the Almighty has established a spirit of financial sacrifice in people's hearts. Through the institution of Khilafat, financial contributions and zakat are then utilized in the most appropriate and true manner, while the poor are also being taken care of, the needs of the needy are being fulfilled, and the work of spreading Islam is also being done. In any case, as I said before, there are certain regions facing great hardship on account of their circumstances, like Bangladesh, certain Arab and African countries, and Pakistan too. There are still other places like Palestine. The few Ahmadi Muslims living there nowadays are also facing tremendous hardship. Generally, the entire nation of Palestine is trapped in a terrible state. Truly inhumane atrocities are being perpetrated against them. May Allah Almighty grant the Palestinians facing this ongoing cruelty escape and refuge. The actual intent of their cruel aggressors is to wipe out the Palestinian people entirely. And they're doing it. Only Allah can resolve this with His mercy. Yet the Ahmadi Muslims among them, despite seeing all of these monstrosities, still express gratitude for having the institution of Khilafat, which they say comforts us and tries to fulfill our needs. We observe in today's world, just like the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had warned, that many calamities shall descend. Some are natural disasters, while others are the consequences of man's own indiscretions and ego, due to which the world is embroiled in corruption and disorder, resulting in wars and widespread conflict. If these people still don't turn their attention toward God, then a destruction is about to befall the world, which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, repeatedly prophesied. Thus, it is the duty of those who are attached to the institution of Khilafat that they realize that they must save the world from this destruction. And when we make this oath to save the world from calamity, then we'll also make efforts towards it. And this involves doing everything we can to save humankind, including utilizing all of our means and abilities for delivering Islam's message to the world, and to remain ever ready to sacrifice our lives, wealth, and time, and to personally forge such a powerful connection with Allah the Almighty that a special grace of Allah becomes a hallmark of every Ahmadi Muslim. And as a result of this grace, we draw nearer to God Almighty while trying to save the world from ruin. When an Ahmadi achieves this, then his own future generations will also be safeguarded, and he will also save himself from pitfalls, because these calamities and afflictions are taking on such perilous proportions. Who knows what hitherto unimaginable shapes they will take in the future. So always remember that the salvation of humankind now lies in establishing a bond with the Ahmadiyya Khilafat, and that this Khilafat is the continuation of that promise which God Almighty made to the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, prophesied would emerge after the advent of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Hence, it is through this link to the Ahmadiyya Khilafat that one is led to Allah Almighty, and it is a chain for continuing this system. Every Ahmadi Muslim ought to strive towards this, for when we do this, then God shall make us the inheritors of His blessings, and those blessings shall be so great that they will not descend upon anyone else in the world. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states in a quote of his, which I'll present here at the end, "Don't think that God will let you go to waste. You are the seed which the hand of God has sown in the earth. God says that this seed will grow and flower, and its branches will spread in all directions, and it will become a huge tree. So blessed is the one who believes in what God says and does not fear the trials which he suffers on his path. For the coming of trials is essential so that God may try you to see who is true in his declaration of bayat and who is false. Whoever falters in the face of a trial would do no harm to God whatsoever, and ill luck would only land him in hell. Were he not born, it would have been better for him. But all those who remain steadfast till the end, They will be shaken with quakes of calamities and battered with storms of misfortune, ridiculed and mocked by people, and hated and reviled by the world, shall at last come out victorious, and doors of blessings shall be thrown open for them. God addressed me and said that I should inform my Jamaat that those who believe, and their belief is not adulterated with worldly considerations, and is free from hypocrisy and cowardice, and is not found wanting at any stage of obedience, such people are the favorites of God. And God says that indeed these are the ones whose station is that of truth. Thus, it is purely the grace of Allah the Almighty, as I have already mentioned, that in every corner of the world, in every country, Allah the Almighty has provided the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, an institution of Khilafat Ahmadiyya with such individuals who are ever growing in the standards of their sacrifices. The promises made by Allah the Almighty to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, are being fulfilled before our very eyes. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, has stated that Allah the Almighty had promised him that this world would not come to an end until all of those divine promises are fulfilled, some during his own lifetime and others after his demise, i.e. some during the lifetime of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, and some after. And we are witnessing them being fulfilled even to this day. Those who remain attached to the institution of Khilafat are also witnessing this, and God willing, they shall continue to witness it in the future as well. Therefore, it is incumbent upon each and every one of us to strive to instill the grandeur of God in our hearts in order to become the recipients of those glad tidings that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, conveyed to us through divine revelation, and to benefit from the promise of Allah the Almighty's grace. Not only establish His grandeur in our own hearts, but also in the hearts of others and in the hearts of our progeny. Let us demonstrate through our practical examples the unity of God and show true compassion to humanity and purify our hearts of malice and rancor, who tread every path of virtue, who safeguard their faith, who manifest perfect obedience, and who continuously strive to advance in their faith, so that in the sight of God Almighty, we are counted among the truthful ones, and we may become true recipients of His divine promises. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to do so. May Allah the Almighty enable every one of us to always be ready to offer every sacrifice for the establishment of Khilafat Ahmadiyya. And may we fulfill the pledge we take in various times, which is also included as part of the pledge in the auxiliary organizations and whose members also recite it. May Allah the Almighty bring about such an era in our lifetime wherein we witness the flag of Allah the Almighty's unity aloft in every part of the world, and people enter in droves into the servitude of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and strive to become among those who demonstrate perfect obedience. It is only then that it will be a day of true happiness and blessings, whereby we can proclaim that we are reaping the benefits from the blessings promised by Allah the Almighty regarding Khilafat. Those would be the days that would save the world from destruction. May Allah the Almighty enable us to reform our conditions and grant us the ability to spread the message of Allah the Almighty to the world. After the Friday prayer, I shall lead two funeral prayers in absentia. The first is of respected Colonel Dr. Peer Muhammad Munir Sahib, who formerly served as the administrator of Fazle Umar Hospital in Rabwa. He recently passed away at the age of 85. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, he was a Musi, part of the Blessed Institution of Al-Wasiyah. He accepted Ahmadiyyat in 1963 through personal research and formally joined the system of Wasiyat in 1967. Observing his pious conduct, his parents also accepted Ahmadiyyat in 1991. After retirement from military service, Colonel Peer Muhammad Munir Sahib had the opportunity to serve as Naib Emir of the district Multan. In 2004, he moved to Rabwa and did Waqf after retirement. He initially served as a general physician at the Fazle Umar Hospital, and was later appointed as its administrator. He served in this role for 12 years with great sincerity and compassion and fulfilled his responsibilities. Due to declining health, he was relieved from administrative duties in 2017, but continued to serve as a physician in the ENT department. He served the Jamaat as a life devotee for 19 years. His wife, Amatul Malik Sahiba, who is the granddaughter of Hazrat Dr. Mir Muhammad Ismail Sahib, says, "He was a deeply affectionate father, a kind husband, and treated all his relatives with love and kindness. He had a great bond with the Jamaat and Khilafat. He endeavored to fulfill his work with utmost honesty." She says, "I was married to him for 60 years. He was extremely gentle-natured and cared for everyone and looked after my own parents, my siblings, and his own parents equally well. To him, humanity always took precedence. Even when he came home late from duty and I inquired, he would say, 'Other people deal with files, which they can set aside at will, but my work is with human beings, and it is my duty to attend to their needs.'" She recalls, "One particular day, he returned home very late. When asked why he came late, he said there was a cleaner, not even from the hospital, who needed surgery and had no one to care for him. So I stayed by his side to look after him. He was regular in tahajjud, fasting, salat, and other voluntary prayers. He observed the fast every Thursday, as mentioned earlier. His devout conduct led his parents to accept Ahmadiyyat in 1991. His mother used to say, "We believed, God forbid, that Ahmadis do not believe in the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and only believe in Mirza Sahib. I dislike this, but when I saw that my son offered tahajjud and was regular in his prayers, I realized that Ahmadis could not be in the wrong." Thus, his own conduct became a means for his parents' acceptance of Ahmadiyyat. Because he accepted Ahmadiyyat after his own research, he was a deeply practicing Ahmadi. His love and reverence for Khilafat were immense. He always remained firmly attached to Khilafat and advised his children to do the same, especially in times of difficulty, urging them to write to the Khalifa of the time. He had no desire for office or rank. Rather, he once wrote to me saying, "Appoint me wherever you see fit. I am ready for any service." He is survived by his wife, three sons, and several grandchildren. May Allah the Almighty bestow his forgiveness and mercy upon him. The second mention is of respected Salima Zahid Sahiba, the wife of Samiullah Zahid Sahib, a missionary currently serving in Canada. She also passed away recently. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to him shall we return. She was a Musia and is survived by her husband, one daughter, and three sons. One of her sons, Ataul Momin Zahid Sahib, is a missionary and a teacher at Jamia Ahmadiyya UK. Ataul Momin Zahid Sahib writes that without exaggeration, his mother taught the Holy Quran to approximately 60 to 70 children. It was Momin Zahid's father who wrote this, i.e. Momin Zahid's mother, without exaggeration, taught the Holy Quran to approximately 60 to 70 children. After her demise, the deceased continued this noble work and taught the Holy Quran. In fact, many people from the Ahl-Hadith and Ahl-Sunnah would openly acknowledge that it was she who taught their children the Holy Quran. He writes that she was very blessed and had a simple disposition and was very loyal and sincere. She always served others and gave preference to the needy over her own self. Her son, Atal Mu'min Zahid, states that even in times of hardship, she prioritized helping others rather than spending on herself. May Allah the Almighty bestow His forgiveness and mercy upon her as well.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر